You are listening to lesson number 5, running a program from the Baptist Basics University course, Bus Ministry 101. I am Matthew Gage, and I'm going to really hopefully help you with some stuff in this one that I had learned the hard way. Let me tell you, growing up in the bus ministry we had in our church here in Texas, there was very little in the way of programs that were ran on the bus. Now, we only have one, I think we had two buses at one time. Most of our routes were, and still are, vans, 15-passenger vans that we run to smaller communities here in our county. And honestly, and I've said it before, I'll say it again, if you know a good way to run a program on a 15-passenger van, let me know. I've never figured one out. You can play some games, but it's very hard to sing a song or lead a program. So I hold that challenge out, and hopefully, I hope somebody takes me up on it and figures a way out, because I never have, and I know a lot of other people who have not either. But remember the first couple times I actually filled in trying to lead a program on the bus, and it is very difficult. It is not as easy as it looks. It takes quite a bit of time to build up confidence, and it took me a long time just not to get car sick, to tell you the truth. But it takes a lot of time and experience, and you'd beat around a little bit to learn some tricks of the trade, learn what to do, what not to do, and I hope I can save you some very frustrating bus rides with what I have here. Now, nothing will do more good on a bus route than having a good program running while the kids are on the bus. You have them, they're a captive audience, so why not use that time to teach and train them? It's often overlooked. I mean, we think, oh, we get the kids to Sunday school and then they get to learn about Jesus. Well, no, we can teach them things of God on the bus. They ain't got nothing else to do and they ain't going nowhere. And even if they raise their hands and say they have to go to the bathroom, there ain't much you can do about it. So you can still do a lot of good on a bus. Not only do you have a captive audience, that's a good reason to do it. Number two is it cuts way down on your discipline problems. If you can keep those kids occupied, it'll really, really keep them from talking, fighting, etc. You will be surprised at what that'll do. Now, there's basically three things I've found or have seen that you can do on a bus. I'm going to tell you, I've got these in order of the way I run them. And the first one is singing, which I do most. The second thing you can do is games, and that's something I use a little moderation, but you can have a lot of fun with. And the last thing you can do is preach. Now, with that, I've never really had any success with that. Some people do. I warn you, you'll blow out your vocal cords trying to scream over the sound of the bus, but you better have a megaphone or something. Anyway, we'll get to that in a little bit, but let's go to the first one, singing. It's easiest, and honestly, I think it's probably one of the best programs you can do, because you can really keep the kids' attention. They're all involved, and you can, you can really teach them a lot of stuff during that time with the songs you use, and you have a lot of fun also. Now, for the ride to church, I recommend that you use a lot of upbeat songs when you first pick up the kids, but then as you get close to the church, start tapering that off and go with some slower ones. Now, there's an art and a science to that. Let me tell you why you do that. You do the fast and upbeat songs to get their attention and to keep their attention. And then once they really got into your program, and you, as you're nearing the church to get ready to drop them off to a Sunday school class, it's then that you want, at some point, and I like actually when I actually had a certain point when we exited off a certain road, that's when I would start cutting it off and start doing some slower songs. But you need a point where you switch over and do that. But the reason why you do the slower songs is because that gets the kids calmed down. They're not going to take off like a bunch of mental patients escaping from a state hospital. When they get off the bus and go running in and be uncontrollable when they get to the church, you know, they're actually going to be calm, and or they're already, you know, kind of settled down, and they're ready to go. They're going to walk right in, go right to the classes most of the time. Not all the time, but that helps tremendously with that. Now, I recommend when you first start singing that you use a very upbeat song to catch your attention. Good one for that is military style cadence, like an Old Soldier or Down by the River. Those are very good. Because they say, you just immediately you holler out, "Hey, you say what I say," and then the kids just automatically jump in. You can go. Now, on the way home, there's not really so much of a big deal about the order of songs and stuff. I mean, you can let the kids get off there all loud and excited, and it ain't such a big deal. The parents just think they had a good time most of the time. So that's something else you can do. Now, I'll tell you, I like songs that kids can really sing out, and they also incorporate a lot of emotions. I like to keep it fun, keep it very very casual. I'm not going to stand up there and have the kids sing Amazing Grace and Jesus Loves Me. Now, I do use Jesus Loves Me a lot, but I'm not going to have them just sit very still like statues and try to sing it and try to conduct them like a choir. No, you know, the main point here is to entertain and educate. And to do so, you're going to have to kind of let your hair down, lose some dignity, and have some fun with them. And I like the songs that are a little bit silly. In fact, I sing a few songs that are just plain old silly, but I like the songs that incorporate him most. In fact, there's some songs I do, such as the song "He's Able." I learned some hand motions to it. I don't know where they came from. Some of them don't really make any sense, but that's a really pretty song, a very pretty little chorus. But when I get done doing the hand motions on it, it doesn't even resemble it because it gets a little wild and crazy. Doing things like that gets the kids excited. It also helps them remember, helps them learn it. They do that, you know, with even the little kids, little toddlers and stuff. They've done studies about how much easier it is for them to remember all the songs with emotions. In fact, my little 2-year-old can articulate all the words to a song. He may can kind of mumble through and get the tune right in some cases, but he knows the hand motions and he can follow along and do the hand motions with you and just stay glued to you while you're singing. Plus, if you've got a song that's got the kids' hands moving, you're controlling what those hands are moving and doing and not leaving it up to the kids to find something for their hands to do. I've said it quite a bit, a little statement, that, you know, if you don't have a program, the kids will. If you don't have the kids doing something, the kids will find something to do. So that's something I want to keep them focused, keep them excited, keep them going. Now, especially on the bus, you need to keep it safe. Don't get too crazy. I don't recommend having the kids stand up. Jumping up and down, you know, standing up, sitting back down, not jumping up and down, you know, on seats or anything. But that's okay. But I wouldn't have the kids standing on the seats. I wouldn't have the kids standing up for long periods of times. You know, doing things that are unsafe. You want to keep relatively sane for safety reasons. Now, if you've never led a program like this, or even for that long, I mean, cause honestly, you ought to most people say start your program when you pick up the first kid. Now, I never was much on that. I like to wait till I had enough kids to actually sing along with me. And usually that point was when we had more kids and we had workers, but we always had a bunch of workers, so you may find something else to do there. But if you've never done this, use a song. Make a list of songs you know that you can sing by memory, or maybe if you're not familiar with it, I mean, it's okay to take the words, but it's not a big deal. But I would make a list, and even if you don't have them in order, I want to do this song, then this song, then this song, then this song, you know, and you can plan it all out like that, that's fine. But if nothing else, make a list of songs that you know that you can do. Write it down on a 3x5 card and stick in your pocket. And as you're singing, you think, "Oh my goodness, I'm losing the kids' attention. I need to do an upbeat one." You pull out that card. You can't think what to do. You pull out the card. What song? Oh, I've got the Joy, Joy, Joy. That's great. I can use that. And you can go. It keeps you from drawing a blank up there. Now, the reason for doing this is what I'm going to talk about now. I do prefer to go off the cuff. I don't like having a scheduled program. Now, I may loosely follow one, and usually I do follow a set pattern. And I mean, there is a method to the madness. When I say going off the cuff, I'm not talking about just doing whatever pops in my mind. I mean, I am doing certain things for certain reasons. But I've learned to be able to pick songs to fit the mood or to affect the mood. Even as I mentioned, if you're losing kids' attention, you go into a very upbeat song, something the kids jump in on. Military cadences are very good for that. You know, Oh Soldier, Down by the River, Jesus Loves Me is one. I mean, there's a bunch of those. I think there's one called Captain Jack I've heard before. There's a bunch of those you can do. Then if the kids are getting a little bit out of hand, you start slowing it down. And like I was talking about before, even getting back to church, you're doing that. You need to have that planned in. But, you know, it just helps you be able to fit the mood with the songs. For instance, you get on there and the kids are all not participating and they're not not really singing and they're not really putting their heart into it. Well, what I would do then is I start going into some songs that I know the kids know real well, that are fun, that are exciting, that the kids love to sing, and then I'll work and build them into getting excited and getting into the program. And then I say, when we get closer to the church, I will start slowing it back down and sedate them a little bit before we let them off. Now, something I have done and I recommend doing is I do keep a list of songs, as I was talking about. I don't use it all the time, but I do have a list of songs that I keep. In fact, I'm going to be printing a new one out for Vacation Bible School this week because I've updated it since I've added a few more songs to our repertoire that I don't have on the list. But what I have is a list of songs that the kids and I both know. And then next to the songs, I have actually put X's next to them. And you may want to put stars or something else. You know, X's have a bad connotation sometimes. But anyway. But what I've done, I've got some X's out there next to them. A song with one X is a slow song. A song with three X's is a very fast song. And it's something that's very lively and wild. And what that does is it helps me be able to identify a song based on the need, not just looking down, oh, hey, we haven't sang a song at all, let's do this one. What that does is, I need a slow song, what do I do? Oh, God is so good, great, that's perfect. You know, I'm able to look down there and see that's a slow song, and that is a tremendous help. I very much recommend doing that, especially if you do like I talk about and kind of go off the cuff and try to fit the songs based on the need. You will find that will really, really be a help and blessing to you. Trust me. Now, the second thing you can do in a program is play games. Now, next to songs, and I do probably 80-90% songs on a bus. Now, in our van, I do very little songs because it's very difficult. I'm screaming at the front windshield most of the time. And if I turn around, I get car sick. So it's very difficult to do songs. Now, I've got some games. We will play some games. We play an I Spy game that works very well. We'll talk a little bit about it here in a minute. That works very well. We actually do that basically the whole time we're dropping kids off. And the kids love it. But next to songs, I like to use a lot of games. You can do a lot of different things. You can have simple games that, you know, one person is just trying to do something. To you can have everybody involved. You can really have some fun with this. Now, I like to have... I like to have a big game for the ride home, something you can kind of promote on the ride to church. You can say, oh, yes, hey, guess what, kids, on the way home, we've got this great game. You can kind of build some excitement for the ride home. The ride home too often is a letdown. You know, it's the afterthought. Oh, we're wore out from the bus ride there and from church. And let's just have the kids sit still and be quiet, and we'll play the quiet and still game. No, you need to have some fun, let the kids have some fun. They need to get off the bus with a smile on their face. That way the parents actually think they enjoy it. Anyway, I'm going to get off on that. But yeah, having big games for the ride home. And then I like to have small, quick games for the trip to church. Just something I can throw in just to kind of break up the songs and add a little bit of excitement. Now, I'll tell you one thing I like to do, and I've done quite a bit in the past, is I like to have games where it's two people and they're trying to do something the fastest or the most or something. one of my favorite things to do in the past was to have them eat candy. The first person who can eat five Tootsie Rolls. The first person who can, you know, chew the bubble gum and blow bubble gum. Stuff like that's very simple, very fun. You can have the kids cheering from both sides, and they really get into it, especially if they think they're going to get picked next. Works very good also for drinking soft drinks. Now, if they drink the soft drink, you have that. You know, have them race it, go, they pop the can, guzzle it. You've got to let them burp at the end, okay? You know, don't get too all starchy on us there. That's a bad word. I can't think of the word I'm using, but... Poor choice of words, not bad words, poor choice of words. Excuse me, I'm reading me. Anyway, another thing Kevin used to do on the bus, right? He actually would dare kids he could make them laugh. I'll give you a piece of candy if you don't laugh. And so the kid would get all serious look, and then he would make faces or holler at him or something. And usually, you know, the kids would buckle and within just short time. That was a lot of fun, and the kids always got a big kick out of it. Now, you can also have kids or games where everybody on the bus is involved, all the kids, even the workers. A really simple one that I do, and this is what I do now. In fact, most Sundays I use this one, is we give out candy to the first person who can see something. We play a kind of an I Spy game. What I'll do is I'll announce three things, and we look for them. You know, police cars, red trucks, roadkill, windmills, you know, you can kind of fit that for your area, but that's a very simple thing that you can do. You can also play some games that are more like real games with actual props and stuff. Something I've seen done is on a large bus, they get one of those big foam noodle things that they use in pools. I think they actually call them noodles, and have the kids weave that thing up and down and over the seats. That's a lot of fun. I've seen that done. Tell you one that we did. We ran string. It's on Kevin's bus, right? We ran string from the back of the bus to the front of the bus. We tied it up on the front or something, I think, and then we had to duct tape it to the back. We put that string up there, and we'd put a straw on it, and we taped a cup to that straw, and then we had races blowing that cup, you know, on that string from the back to the front. And that was a lot of fun. Something real simple, you know, took a little bit of setup time. But it was a lot of fun. You can do a lot of stuff like that, you know, side versus side. Or, I'd say there's no end. You let your imagination be your guide, and you can have a lot of fun with that. Just to say, keep safety in mind. You don't want anything too wild. And also, you want to make sure, you know, kids don't get too dirty. One of my favorite ones to do, and I quit doing it, was to have people eat those little chocolate pudding cups without a spoon. And, you know, whether they just, like, pop the top and try to chug as much of it in the mouth as they could, or if they were using the fingers. It was a lot of fun, but, yeah, it got some shirts running. I never got in trouble for it, but I didn't want to take the chance. Now, I'll tell you one I heard about, and I could probably tell stories to get people in trouble, and I'm not going to mention his name. But, anyway, a certain person I knew was giving the kids a hard time one time. They said somebody eating peppers, and the kid, "Oh, we eat peppers all the time. We eat peppers." He said, "Okay." He said, "Well, I'll get some peppers next week on the bus." Well, he went and got this little variety pack of peppers he found at the supermarket, and it had everything from jalapenos to habaneros in it. And he had kids just short of throwing up from eating those. And of course, now he didn't make anybody do it. They all did it because they wanted to. You gotta be careful doing stuff like that. Now, luckily, he didn't get in trouble for that one, but stuff like that you can be a little careful with. Now, the last thing you can do, and I've tried it a little bit and never had much success with it. Part of it may be my voice, but is preaching. Many, many people preach on the buses, or have people preach, especially on the long rides of people picking up people an hour away. This is something that they like to do. My experience has not been very good. Did not work for me. You got to think there's a lot of distractions. I mean, these kids can just look out the window and watch cars go by, and that's a lot more interesting than preaching sometimes. A lot of times, at least some people preach. There's also a tremendous, tremendous amount of noise. You don't realize until you get up there and start trying to holler over it, but you've got the air rushing rushing around the bus or van as it's moving. You've got all the road noise from the tires on the road. You've got the engine noise. You've got the kids talking and playing and stuff. There's a lot going on, and it's very hard to make yourself heard over that. The only way I would consider doing this a lot would be like with a megaphone or even a sound system. Some people actually wired up sound systems in buses, but if you can do that, that's great. But even having a bullhorn would be a big help. The only thing is, those things are hard to listen to for very long, so I don't recommend doing that. But using some type of a microphone is the only way I think you could do this for very long. Now, let me wrap up by a little side note here I've attached. Kind of goes along with this. For the same reasons, I don't think preaching is a great and very effective idea. It's the same reason you shouldn't do a lot of talking on your bus ride. You shouldn't try to make a big 5-10 minute speech. Even if it's good, even if you're trying to maybe explain the program coming up, you need to keep it short. Honestly, try to keep any type of announcement to less than 10 sentences. I mean, you need to keep it very short and keep the program moving. When you go to talk, the kids tune out very quickly. Now, there's ways of doing this. You need to get the kids excited and stuff. If I'm talking about an upcoming promotion, I go into the late night infomercial mode. Now, boys and girls, you do not want to miss the promotion next week. You will not be getting just one piece of candy. You won't be getting just two pieces of candy. But no, you will get a whole handful of candy. Every bus ride that rides will get to reach their hand into a giant bag of candy and get to take home as much candy as their hand can take. But wait, that's not all. If you bring a visitor, you won't get just to reach in one hand. You'll get to reach in two hands. And just something similar to that. And I have a lot of fun with that. That's why I like going into that. But doing something like that, that's a lot of fun. The kids will like it. But if you just try to stamp her now, kids, now listen up now. Now, next week, we're going. Everybody that rides is going to be able to get a handful of candy out of the bucket. Don't scream so loud. That's not all so exciting. And I tell you what, if you bring a visitor, we'll let you get two. Yeah, we'll let you have two. And the visitors, too. We'll let the visitors have some, too. Yeah, we're doing this because we want you to know that we love you, and we want you to know that it's important to bring visitors, and we want to keep our dentist in business, whatever. But you go to talking like that, and you've lost them. You have lost, especially when you go try to get all philosophical there and explain why you're doing something. You've lost them. They're gone. So keep it short, keep it exciting, and then move on. Keep it moving. Basically, those are the three major things you can do: singing, games, and preaching. I know some people also will teach memory verses. I would put that more in like into a game category, because you want to make that fun, not just everybody repeat what's on the sign. But I've seen many people do that, make a big even take a dry erase board and write verses or something up there, and then you erase one of them, and then who can say this now with this word missing, and do things like that. That works very good. I would consider that more of a game, but you can do a lot of fun stuff like that. I just want to make it fun and exciting. What I hate to see, and I can't say I'm not guilty of doing it, and it has its place. What I hate to see, though, is for a bus ride to be nothing more than a 30-minute version of the Quiet Game. And hopefully you remember what the Quiet Game was. That's where everybody sat really still and really quiet, and the person who supposedly was the quietest and the stillest got a prize. Sometimes there was no prize. They just wanted you to sit still and quiet. And they pulled that on you in school and church and on a lot of bus routes. I'm not a big fan of that. It does have its place, and you may need to do that to get some kids' attention sometimes, kind of as a punishment. But if you remember back when you were a little kid, you hated it too. That's the main reason I don't do it, because I hated it as a kid. I was bored out of my mind. I didn't want to do good. So I don't want to let the other kids do it. Same reason I buy good candy. I always hated when they bought cheap candy, so I like to buy good candy. Same type of deal. But anyway, we'll let that wrap it up. I haven't gone quite as long on this one as I have on some other ones. But those are some basic things you can do in running a program. I think hopefully that's been a big help to you. I know I don't have a song list and words and stuff. If you get a little research, you can find some of that stuff. I'll tell you, a website that has a lot of that is the Church Bus News website. I believe it's churchbusnews.com. I hope that's right. But if you go there, they actually have a section. They've got some stuff like that on there. If you do a little search on the internet for children's Bible songs, you will find some with the hand motions and stuff. Hopefully be help to you. As far as games go, finding those a little harder. You can search for children's games and you just find a game and try to make it fit all of us. That's the easiest thing to do. I don't really know of a website or any real resource that just has just games to play. I'm sure somebody may have put out a pamphlet on it one time, but any type of book on the bus ministry would probably have something on that. But and as I say for preaching, good luck. But anyway, I hope that's a help to you, and I'm telling you, nothing helps your ministry better than having a good, strong program. So hopefully in the next few weeks, if you don't already have one, I hope that you get one started. If you do have one, I hope I've given you some thoughts and our ideas to make it better. So let's go out there this weekend and get some kids on the bus.